Music and Booze with Mo is produced and distributed by Eats Drinks TV, a service of the Center for Culinary Culture, home of the Cocktail Collection, and First Reel Entertainment, and is available wherever fine podcasts can be heard. The Center for Culinary Culture, telling the story of food and drink, one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com and also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles.
And even when you lock the doors and slide behind the unlit shades, none of us are strangers anymore.
A friend of mine relocated about a year ago to Fargo, North Dakota, where he grew up. He's sort of halfway relocated, still has a place out in Los Angeles that he comes to, real small, cheap apartment. So he's got a place to crash when he wants to visit with friends, but he was able to buy a house out in North Dakota because, you know, it's expensive to buy houses in California. Now, when he did that, he kind of cruised around his home state as an adult, exploring a little bit, and he came across a bar called Thomas and Moriarty's. And he told me, you gotta look into this place. It was really great and they served fantastic cocktails. So I reached out thinking, I wonder if there's anyone there that happens to be into music. And guess what? Everyone there was into music. You'll hear more about that because I got to talk with one of the co-owners and the beverage director, Michael Cashy, about opening up a place in Mandan, North Dakota. Here is Michael talking about Thomas and Moriarty's and drumming and much, much more.
Yeah. So first off, like I was kind of catching up on some of the podcasts.
And oh, yeah.
That's going to tie into this. Like you've interviewed like Dale DeGraw, Brian Miller, like legends. And then me, Michael Cashy. So, So I'm Michael Cashy. And then I owned with my girlfriend, Thomas and Moriarty's. We're a little cocktail bar in Mandan, North Dakota.
I love it. I love it. So when I was looking around, when my friend told me about your place, and then I looked in, I'm like, ooh, I want to talk to these guys. But, you know, what are the chances that they're music people over there? And I reach out and hear that pretty much every single person involved with your bar has some tie to music.
Yeah. Owns a radio station. She's been doing radio for 20 some years. Mm-hmm. Then not as much anymore, but used to be pretty good at drums. And well, that's a perishable skill. And I'm, but me and our other bartender actually played in a chicken band.
Chicken band?
Yeah. One of my old roommates had a band called Henry and the Hens. And they dressed up in chicken costumes. And then it was not very... It was a show. It wasn't so, we weren't so musically inclined, although Rachel's a crazy bass player.
It sounds like performance art, honestly.
But I don't think it was supposed to be. He was an interesting dude.
And then there's even more at your bar. Like, okay, so your partner owns the radio station, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and then you're a musician, and I think there's even more people who...
So there's the three of us that are actually active in music. We only have three actual staff. Stacy kind of handles the business end now. Mm-hmm. So then our other guy actually works for the state. He just kind of helps out part-time. We're pretty small. We only mm-hmm. hold people. So I'm the only one here that's full-time.
Well, so tell me about the bar. Tell me how you came to opening up this bar in Mandan, North Dakota. I mean, obviously you live there and people don't think about this, but about this as a potential cocktail destination. But from everything I've read and researched, it sounds like you guys have some really nice drinks there stashed away.
Yeah. So I would have to go back a little ways because how mm-hmm. I ended up here again is kind of a weird story.
Roll so, all the way back. I love to hear the origin stories.
I graduated in 2006. That's how far back we're going.
Yeah.
So 2005, I would actually turned 18 and was really going nowhere. I barely graduated. One of those stories. So recruiters came to me and I was kind of an idiot and couldn't say no. So I somehow ended up in the Army. Basically day after graduation left and ended up getting stationed in Germany for 5 years. And then I stayed for an additional two and
wow.
then moved. Found myself single. So I was like, well, you know, I might as well come back to the States. Just go to college for a few years. And then my goal was to end up back over there. And then ended up getting a job at a bar here in town and started training under, I'm sure everybody knows now, Kate Gerwin.
Oh, yeah.
Dalton at a bar that I started off at.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of stories, ended up falling in love with the industry. Especially.
So, I'm sorry, I'm going to roll back a little bit because every once in a while I'm cutting out a bit here. So where did you train with her? Was that?
She was actually a consultant at a bar in town.
Got it. Oh, wow. Wow. I know she's done a lot this year, hasn't she? I think she won like Best Bartender at Tails this year.
American Bar.
Best American then, Bar. Oh, Best American Bar for her place in Albuquerque. And then was on Drink Masters. Yeah.
Yep. And then Liquor.com, I think, won the same bar too.
Wow. So that's kind of fortunate that you got to train with someone who has already, you know, was already very deeply in the biz.
Oh, yeah. That was before she had won Bowls too.
Oh, yeah.
She actually won that while she was here. But this was just supposed to be a job that I was going to do for a couple of years while I went through college. And here I am, still haven't finished my associates yet. So,
well, at least being a bartender is kind of flexible. So if you wanted to, but those late hours, I don't know.
Yeah. And then, so a couple of years later, I was getting a little burnt out bartending, was trying to get kitchen shifts like crazy. That ended up not working out at that spot. So I ended up going to another spot in town and kind of cooking for about six or eight months. And my girlfriend comes to me. A friend was trying to sell like a margarita truck. And we had wanted to just, at the time, there weren't really any laws regarding that. It was kind of the Wild West.
Nice.
Except in North Dakota. North Dakota has some weird liquor laws. They're kind of getting back on those though. But in order to even buy alcohol, you have to have a brick and mortar location. So our idea was we were just going to do a small little bar and then really make our money off of like traveling and doing different events. Well, a couple of years later, here with three locations, I should say, and then a couple of years later, we got ghosted on one.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, we had started construction, and it's right across the street. So it was, for a couple months, it was hard. It was like working with an ex, constantly having to stare at them. Beautiful historic to the time frame that we wanted, built in 1893.
Wow.
And fire code dinged us.
Oh, no.
Entire building. And we took out a micro loan. So we opened up our bar with $40,000.
Oh, which my God.
Any kind of a bar, that's equipment alone.
Yeah.
Like an under-counter ice machine.
That's amazing. Amazing.
So then we ended up in this spot here, and we ended up having to kind of build around it, making it look old, because we had always wanted to do a, I was a history major. She was a communications and literature or English major. So we'd always wanted to do like a Victorian era, kind of a literary themed cocktail bar.
Well, that sort of fits with the name in a sense, because you guys are Thomas and Moriarty's. I always have trouble with his last name, which is both Jerry Thomas and Sherlock's nemesis.
It's nice to not have to explain what that is for once.
I have to say, I was very intrigued when I first saw it, because Moriarty, I recognized right away. I'm like, ooh, it's Sherlock Holmes, something with Sherlock Holmes. And even though I'm here in the beverage industry and all of this, the Thomas part, I was like, why is the Thomas there? Was there a Thomas associated with it? And then when I read, I'm like, oh, duh, that makes sense. It's Jerry Thomas. So how did you guys come up with that name? What was the, you know, you wanted it to be, as you said, kind of old-timey, Victorian-y, but I guess they both kind of.
So the time frame doesn't quite line up.
Yeah.
So
I'm like, sort of.
1880, I think. And then the Sherlock Holmes books take place 90, so we kind of had to do some tweaking. Our first like 10 menus, we had actually kind of had a lore involved between Jerry and Moriarty, so it tied into the story a little bit more. We wanted to do like a little comics drip or a comic series, but that's a little out of our budget right now.
Well, what was your inspiration for all that? Because those are the kinds of things I hear about. And I think when we were emailing, I mentioned this to you, I'm like super excited to get to talk to you, and you guys are in North Dakota. And I love that there is this great cocktail bar in an area that people don't necessarily associate with having great cocktail bars. You know, it's like everyone's used to, oh, in New York. Oh, and you know, like New Orleans, I mean, San Francisco, LA gets, nobody pays attention to us. They're starting to a little bit now, but it's like scattered around the coast.
We were just there this summer, I think, visiting my family there. And,
in Los Angeles?
Yeah. Honestly, LA scene is legit.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Next time you're here, let me know, because I'll take you over to mine. But yeah, you know what I mean, though. It's like you guys are doing something, but that, talking about doing that comic books, the thematic stuff is stuff I hear about, like from Undertow and Phoenix or Dead Rabbit with their legendary menus that were always those kind of graphic novels practically. So what was it for you guys? You it sounds like you had this vision beyond just the cocktails when you opened this place up.
So when we opened, or before we started construction, we had we knew exactly what we wanted. We started doing like construction. We did all the decorating here. Mm-hmm. And it really ended up just kind of building itself. So all of our plans we had kind of went out the window. Like I look at the bar, it's a living thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just like, well, people like at a different day, it can be a totally different thing. The vibe can totally change from day to day. So we had just kind of let it really build itself. I wish I had a better answer, but
no, that's fine. It's amazing that as it developed, you guys came up with all of these creative ways to kind of create it, you know, to something interesting for people to grab onto, you know, not just another bar down the street where you can watch the game and have a beer. And so that's actually another question I had for you is, how did that feel, you know, establishing this kind of cocktail bar where you lived? Was it something you're like, people are going to dig this? They haven't had the opportunity to have it. Was it kind of scattered around town already? Because I know that there are places in North Dakota that are getting more sophisticated than we coastal people give credit for.
So that was one of those things we had done a ton of market research. Mm-hmm. And it went out the window the day we opened. because there is a demand for it here in this town. So Bismarck Mandan is like right across the river from each other for people mm-hmm. who don't. And people don't like going across the river, but Mandan, we had opened here to kind of fill that void for Mandan, because we know a lot of people that will go over to Bismarck to eat and drink. Our first 2 years, we did not see them. Bismarck, actually, people were coming across. They're kind of what kept us in business. So we had looked for, like, had went into it kind of thinking that, you know, we should have at least have a steady flow. Mm-hmm. But it was about 2 years of like really rough nights, like constantly be like, are we going to make it? Are we going to be closing? What's going on? 2020 comes around and we picked up. January, the slowest month of the year. It was our busiest month.
Really? February,
we were crazy. And then was it March?
And then pandemic.
We got shut. We didn't get shut down. North Dakota never really shut down. Mm-hmm. But we didn't have any in-house dining. But we food, so we were able to stay open with that. And then they allowed us to do cocktails to go. So we were, for a couple of years, it was rough. And yeah. Then it looked like it was turning around. And then, nope, just kidding.
Oh, no. However, you guys are still hanging in there.
Yep, and each year we're a little bit better than the year before. So,
and so have the locals, like, warmed up to it? The locals are like now... you know, hey, I didn't know that this was an ingredient you could put in a cocktail and I loved it.
Yeah, we definitely have we've done like a lot of classes, tastings and stuff like that. And
oh, that's cool.
Yep, we sell out every one of those we do. And we've gotten a lot of people then have come in to start making drinks at home and then they're asking for advice too. I'm like, well, keep at it, I guess.
Well, okay. So important question for you. You guys opened the brick and mortar. What happened to the margarita truck?
We do a lot of events, like caterings offsite and stuff like that. So that is kind of taken over for that.
Well, that's good. So I guess, you know, since you have this literary tie-in to the bar, yet you, which I find really amusing that you guys open it up and it's literary, yet at least three of you, the two owners for sure, are very tied into music. So how did the music just didn't come into play, or are you all about your playlists?
So when, kind of going back to what I said, that the bar is a living, breathing thing. Opened, I was super strict about what we were going to play. We were only going to play like classic. Like, we're talking like Delta Blues, a lot of Robert Johnson first opened.
Okay.
And it always felt kind of forced. So now we're a little bit more lenient. Like, there are days where if it's a gloomy day, like I'm blasting like some Billie Holiday or something in here. But then it'll change throughout the night. But we typically like to start with something a little bit more chill. So we react a little bit more than we did before.
So swell to keep every home fire burning for. We'd be so grand at the game, so carefree together that it does seem a shame that you can't see your future with me, 'cause you'd be old. So easy to love.
Let's roll back to the music thing. When did you start playing drums?
Fifth grade.
Yeah.
So I back in sixth grade. This is back to where I barely made it through high school. I was going to college. I ended up having a 3.9 GPA. I just wasn't ready for school, apparently. Mm-hmm. I got my first drum set the summer I got held back. So whatever year that was. So sixth grade. And I think I would play for like 6-7 hours a day. That was all I would do.
Why was it the drums?
So I'm super ADD, undiagnosed ADD, I should say. So I get, I'm really good at something, I'll hold on to it. If I don't get something, I just kind of pass it off. Mm. Part of the reason I never got flair bartending, I'm too complicated, but I got drums right away. I don't know, maybe there was some like rage in there or something.
I was gonna say, did your parents just decide, let's get him a drum kit so he could bang on things? And that's kind of what wound up in your garage.
I can't remember why I chose drums, but I actually wanted to quit, but my parents were like, no, we bought you this snare drum. You're staying. Like, well,
you're doing it.
A friend told me, I think it was coming back from the pool or something. And one of my friends was like, hey, you know, there's a yard sale just down the road and they got a drum set for like $40. I'm like, oh, so I told them, and we bought that. And then that was kind of the end.
That's hilarious. So then I guess at that point you were paying a little more attention to the drums on track, like on stuff like music that you were listening to. So what was it that you were playing?
I was always kind of, so I never learned how to read music, even though I was in band. Mm-hmm. Once it got to like different time signatures and cut time, they're like, oh, I don't understand this. So I kind of sang by ear, but then I would also sing, which is weird for a drummer. So it was,
yeah, that's few and far between drummers that sing.
I almost had a vocal style of playing, mm-hmm. which is weird because at the time I was really into pop punk. So there's a lot of Blink 182 going on, which usually a drummer would sing to as well. So I'd play a lot of that, but then at the same time, there was almost like a little bit of a sloppy drumming, like a Keith Moon style without being good. Like that.
That's awesome. Oh, there you are, still there. I'm like, wait, did we cut out again? It's weird the way it's cutting in and out. That's hilarious. I love that. But I'm trying to think, drummers always seem sloppy, don't they? Do you have any drummer heroes though, now that you've done it for a while?
Oh, definitely. If I could play like anyone, it would 100% be Keith Moon. I love The Who.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you sent me your playlist already, and I remember looking at it, and it seems pretty metal.
I thought it was just kind of weird.
Weird? Well, I'm just remembering off the top of my head, so you remember more than me because you worked on it. So I was like, oh, is he a metal guy? What's up with this dude? You know, which I found interesting. But just hard rock, it sounds like.
More rock, a lot of like, I think there was some pop punk in it, and there was some almost like country-esque, I'll say, without like Brian Fallon, Gaslight Anthem type stuff. So yeah, not super.
Well, so what kind of bands were you playing with then, when besides the Chicken Band? Although I do want to hear more about the Chicken Band because that sounds kind of amazing.
That is the actual band I've ever played in.
How long were you guys together?
2 years, something like that. Not a whole lot. We basically would play. We played a wedding, which was the weirdest, best thing ever.
I'm really intrigued by the couple that had you guys play at their wedding. You know, they had a wedding where they had chickens performing rock.
The best wedding I've ever been to, which is probably why the marriage didn't last very long.
Oh man, that's hilarious.
But front of house, dated, married, back of house, typical.
So you guys just played around town then for 2 years and had your fun.
Yeah, we played my girlfriend's radio station does a lot of events. So we played at like a rib festival and a wing festival and a pizza festival.
That sounds perfect, actually.
Really disheartening when you're playing at something where people aren't going for the music. We only played one event. I should say we actually only played at one show, and it was people there to see bands. And even though it was a way smaller crowd, the crowd was actually like alive, I would say. They weren't just like shoving chicken wings down their throats.
So you're getting all the energy from them, basically.
Yeah. And then I did play in pep band in high school. So, I mean, I did play in public.
At least that kind of public anyway, where you weren't wearing a chicken suit.
No, yeah.
Shoot, I was going to ask you something about, oh, I always ask people this. And since you have played music and since, you know, your partner is so deeply into music with radio and everything, has that infiltrated your menu at all? Have you been able to create, like, done any music themed cocktails or menus during the course of this bar?
I wouldn't say themes. Some of them are definitely inspired by. I know one of them was inadvertently, and it was our biggest seller for years. A drink called, we had wanted to do a drink just called A Little Death. And for those not in the know, that's 19th century literary term for an orgasm.
Orgasm, so, yeah. The Little Death, yes.
Our big seller. And it ended up being super simple drink. Slow gin, lemon, apricot, and Prosecco. Really light, refreshing. But I was drinking it. And then all of a sudden, I was once again listening to a pop punk playlist from back in the day. And if anybody remembers, I think it was Blink-182's first hiatus they went on. Mm. Mark and Travis had started Plus 44.
Yeah.
And they had a drink called A Little Death. A song called And I all of a sudden, like, the chorus hits and it's a fall asleep with the windows open. Come to me with the worst you said and done. And I was like, wait a second, that is this darn drink. Like, just all of a sudden that song took me back to that drink, which I should have been drinking when I was listening to Plus 44, but I didn't know what a cocktail was then.
Wow. Well, that actually is a good segue to, when did you find out what was a cocktail? Was that when you started training with Kate?
2013. Mm-hmm. Yep. 2013. I moved back in 2013.
Yeah. So tell me, like, how that process was for you, from, you know, bartending and just like shots and a beer kind of bartending to crafting.
Well, it wasn't even shots and a beer. I started drinking in Germany. So it was beer. It was beer.
Beer and then more beer. Yeah.
Beer and dark beer and then lighter beer.
But really good beer.
Oh, I miss it.
You know, I'm not much of a beer drinker, but a good friend of mine moved to Berlin. I have another friend that's lived in Berlin for like 30 years now. A good friend of mine moved there. I think I want to say it was like in 2002 or something. So I finally went to visit him in 2005. And I've been two or three times since then. But he's someone I'd known for, you know, 20 years already. And we got there and he's like, we went to a lake. It was summertime. We went to a lake to, you know, have a sandwich and have a beer. And he's like, well, you don't like beer. And I'm like, I don't like American beer. Let me try some German beer, because I'll bet you it's better than what, you know, I've had. And it was fantastic. And I was totally drinking beer when I was out there. It's a totally different experience.
Yeah. Oh, that early too, probably was pre-craft beer revolution, at least before mainstream, I should say.
Out there anyway. I'm from San Diego originally. So, you know, like Pizza Port, which is legendary, is in my hometown. So the craft beer thing's always been a part of my world. And because of that, I just get like, oh, you know what? I'm not super into beer. I'm not going to take the time to investigate all of this. I'll let others have that. I'll get into the spirits, but I can appreciate, especially while traveling, a good beer. So you were just beer and more beer. And then the craft thing happened.
Well, back to the subject of beer.
Oh yeah.
I had actually lived, when I was in the army, I was stationed in Bamberg, which is, so everyone talks about Munich. Munich's got, I think, five breweries, which is a big deal. Mm-hmm. Bamberg had seven, and it's size of, it's actually, I think, smaller than Bismarck Mandan. I think it's about 70,000-80,000 people.
So it just smells like hops all the time.
This was where, if you were German, this is where you came for beer. And they were really known for their beer. Oldest brew pub was actually in Bamberg.
Wow.
But yeah, so what was the question again?
That's totally valid, because we're all distracted with beer. It's, you know, when did you kind of make that shift into crafting cocktails? You know, you got changed, but then you obviously now have a big enthusiasm for it, because you've started this amazing craft cocktail bar. So what was your kind of path to that?
It wasn't so much the cocktails themselves. It was more so the history of it, because I was a history major when I was going not finish school. I had just always, as soon as I had found out about guys like Jerry Thomas or Henry Craddock, it's like it was game over. When finding out that there was an actual like culture around this, pouring a drink, like 1800s, where you go find out anything, politics was the bar. Your barman knew everything. Mm-hmm. It was kind of that history and that culture that really kind of drove me to it.
So when you got involved, were there any spirits in particular that you found yourself kind of falling in love with, or was it just everything?
It was still absinthe, which is ironic because
really
my introduction to absinthe wasn't good.
That's so Victorian of you, though.
Well, this was more, I was textile absinthe, you know, you have to light it on fire, but I don't know if the actual proper serve of an absinthe just took me back to that or what it was. Probably the history too, honestly. Absinthe's got one of the wildest histories.
Yeah, it does. Definitely. But
yeah, it's always been absinthe, which sucks because when we opened, we really wanted to focus on absinthe. And I think there was about 8 or 9 absinthes in the state, with most of them being solid. And now there's 2. Place the entire state that was really pushing for absinthe. So we've had to abandon that.
So what, you know, you have to have some favorites like that you've done over the last couple years. You were talking about the A Little Death that's become a favorite, but for you, there's that creativity in crafting, and you also being a musician, you know, probably understand that creativity on that side too. So have there been a couple cocktails that you've been like, I can't believe I just came up with this. This is so great that you can remember, or do you feel that way about all of them?
So we tend to do really simple drinks, I would say. Stuff that people can replicate at home, or you can go to another bar for A Little Death because it's these ingredients you can find almost everywhere. So nothing has been too wild. So we have a drink called the Louise Wiley, which is, I wouldn't even say a riff because it's the exact same ingredients as a porn star martini. And I think it was Punch just did a story on what bartenders in Amsterdam are doing with the porn star martini or something like that. Like, wait a second, we've been doing this damn drink because it was the same presentation since like 2017 or something.
Yeah, I mean, see, that's the thing. That's why we got to let people know that you exist out there in North Dakota.
So, I mean, it's the same ingredients as the porn star martini. It's vodka, vanilla, lemon, passion fruit, prosecco, except we ended up making a passion fruit and prosecco foam.
Ooh, yum. That sounds delicious.
You have a super tart tart foam, and then the drink itself is really sweet, so it balances that out.
Yeah, that sounds super delicious. That's really nice. It's a fun way to drink it too. You know, like you said, different presentation makes it a little more fun. So, then I have to ask my other question I always ask, which is when you are chilling out, when you are home alone or having your downtime, what is your music? What is your drink?
Oh, God, it depends on the mood.
Yeah, it always does. It always does. So maybe we could do a couple of them. Let's do a like coming down kind of mood first. It's like the end of the night kind of thing.
Oh, God. 100%, especially in the winter, I listen to a lot of Joy Crooks.
Yeah, I don't think I know who that is. Awesome. Oh,
fantastic. Very much like got a Billie Holiday kind of a voice to her, despite I think she came out when she was like 16 or something like that, was the song I had heard. But, oh God, it actually made my Mexican hot chocolate. What was the damn song? It's on the list. Poison, the Poison by Joy Crooks. It is the perfect song for like a winter day with just like a cup of hot chocolate. Like as soon as I heard that song, I was like, oh my God.
So the Poison is what it's called?
Poison.
Just Poison. Okay, cool. So that sounds wonderful, because I actually have been craving hot chocolate for a couple of days. And it's not even like it's that cold here. It gets down to the 40s at night and we're dying.
Yeah. Hi. Well, hi. Okay, so.
Yeah, so I know I was going to say it's I my brother lives in New York. And so when I visit him like in December or so, it's when it's like, you know, high 40s, I'm all, oh, it's, you know, after a while, I'm like, oh, it's so brisk and refreshing today, as opposed to when it gets below. So I get how that works, but I myself choose not to do it full time. I would love for you to tell people like why they need to come see you in North Dakota. Like, can you be a booster for your state, for like the scene and all that?
Always get overlooked, which sucks, because there are some great, like even in Bismarck, Mandan, there are some great places. There's a restaurant across the river called Butterhorn, and the chef was just on Top Chef. And they've got some of the best food I think I've ever had. Drinks are solid too. There's another place right across the river where a guy I used to work with is running the bar, Huckleberry House, and they've got some amazing food and drinks. And I don't think you're gonna get much better service. Like the personal like touch that you will in like a market like this in the Midwest, because we actually do care, I should say, I think, is way to describe it.
I think, no, you know what? I mean, well, also you're working in hospitality, and I think hospitality tends to have more people involved who do care and want to create community in some way. But I think, you know, you're in a smaller market than say, you know, I'm here in LA or somebody in New York, which is millions of people like coming through. So I think that gives probably the opportunity to really make that community true community, you know.
But then there's also the guests too. If I don't know how many times it's happened that we've had someone at the bar and we're talking to one of the guests who was from out of town, and then all of a sudden like he's got five new friends because they had one time shared interest, and now they're going to be going to the other places in town, and they're going to, next time they're back, they're going to go visit each other.
That's awesome. I love that though. I mean, that's something that I've found just in my travels to any city, like you can always make friends at a bar, you know, always. So that's probably a great place to wrap it up. If you want to tell people like the website, the Instagram handles, all that kind of stuff, so they can follow you. And should someone find themselves in North Dakota, they know where to go.
Oh yeah. I think we're just on Instagram and Facebook, maybe TikTok. I don't handle anything, so I don't even want a Facebook, but I need it. So just Thomas and Moriarty's on all of those. You should be able to find us if you're in town. I mean, reach out. We'll take care of you.
Yeah, absolutely. I have so many road trip plans that I don't know when I would ever be able to fulfill, but because I know getting to you would be a bit of a drive. Like you probably, well, I don't know. You can fly into Bismarck, right?
Yeah.
And it's not so bad.
If you're flying from LA, I think in the summer, Allegiant flies direct.
Well, in my case, that's very helpful. So, well, thank you so much. Don't go away, but it was really great to talk to you, Michael. I really appreciate you being here and representing for North Dakota. I think it's super important, you know.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, of course. Come,
everybody.
I will come when it's not icy and snowy.
Yeah. Only like 40 below, something like that.
Yeah, that's just kind of brisk.
The poison, you say you got it from your mother. The poison, there isn't anyone else to blame.
Big thank you to Michael for taking the time to sit and talk with me and give me the scoop about what's going on in Mandan, North Dakota. Of course I want to visit. I want to visit all these places that I get to talk with people about. And this one is no exception. If you go over to that Instagram, Thomas and Moriarty's. You'll see some really beautiful cocktails on there that'll make you want to fly straight into Bismarck too. So thank you, Michael. And there is a playlist. He did give me some songs to put together into a playlist for you. We heard a couple of them during the course of this little interview. So head on over to the Music and Booze with Mo Spotify page and you can find that playlist there. And thank you again, Michael. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at themermaidla.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. Thank you for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guest, or if you want to connect with me, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. While you're there, give the show a rating and a review. It really helps to get the word out. If you want to hear the playlists our guests have curated, search SheBMO on Spotify, SheBMO. Find pictures of the interviewees and the cool stuff they create on the Music and Booze with Mo Instagram account. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.